promised land if they live righteously. It is time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It is an Articles of News episode. I know you're thinking we've done a lot of news recently, and you're right. I felt compelled to do a lot of news to get us caught up. The fact that now it is old news, episode 800 in the rearview mirror, episode 801, the 801, yes. The Utah Center. Hi, it's Megan, the Mitch. She joins
me.
Hey,
what's up?
What's up with you?
What's up?
If we're going to do it, we have to do full tongue.
What's up? All of the people on YouTube got a really good visual there.
Oh, yeah. I had to actually make sure that my tongue was clear. I was eating breakfast a little bit ago, and I was like, is this going to be... That's too much for people. What is new with you, Megan the Mitch?
The show that I'm in?
The play.
Silent Sky. It opens next Friday, so okay. I'm really, really excited for that.
Are you in what we theater folk love to call Hell Week?
Not quite. That starts on Saturday.
Okay.
But no, we just did, community theater, right? Mm-hmm. We're working with different resources. I don't want to say limited. We'll say different resources than a Hale, you know, obviously. Sure. And so yesterday there were scheduling conflicts with our rehearsal space. And so we ended up going to our director's house and we did just a speed read. So no acting, no blocking, nothing. We were just like, get through our lines as fast as we could. And we all potlucked and brought some delicious food and it was a party. It's the first time I had ever done. So here's the thing, Richie, I've done musical theater frequently but never a straight show. Except for the one time that I was in Arsenic and Old Lace and I played a dead man, which was the height of my acting career.
Typecasting.
Obviously. And so, but my musical theater experience really doesn't have a lot to do with acting or singing. It was all centered around dance. So this is all such a new experience for me. So I'm learning a lot. So doing things like a speed read, I was like, I don't even know what this is, but I'm here and I'm happy to do it, you know? So, but that was really good. And it's fun because our cast is really small. It's only 5 people.
Jeez. Okay.
And so, it's interesting. Like part of that is like, oh, cool. Yeah. Like there's no big production numbers, none of this big over the top, but also I'm like, there's no camouflage for if I mess up.
Oh yeah.
I really have to know my stuff. So it's been really an interesting, fun, growing, wonderful experience. And I'm very excited.
Correct me if I'm wrong. This is sort of the passion of youth. And now because your youth are getting older, you're able to return to passions, isn't it?
A little bit. Yeah.
Talk to me about the value or importance or scared of all that or walk me through some of that.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. My husband and my children have always been very supportive of when I take on new like projects and new things, but I've never, since becoming a mom, doing it to its fullest has never really been, you know, in the cards, which is fine. Like that's absolutely the life I chose. I never felt like I was like pigeonholed. Like it wasn't, you will get married at 21 and have a bunch of kids and never do anything for yourself again. But it's a little bit scary to try to learn new things, old dog, new tricks, that type of thing. But at the same time, I want my children to see value in what it means to have a passion and what it means to try new things. In that, I think a lot of times in society right now, it's I'm going to try the thing and see if I can monetize it. I'm going to try the thing to see if I can make a big social media campaign about it. I'm going to try the thing because I'm bitter and never got to. And it's, for me, it hasn't really been that way. It's been, I want my kids to see that you can have a life that is full and that there are times and seasons for things to happen in the way that they should and the way that makes the most sense. I want my girls to see that I've seen this phrase float around that I think is really, really powerful. And that is, you were someone before you were their mom, and that person is important, you know? So I want my girls especially to see that you can be a mom and you can also do the things.
Sure.
And It's so, the interesting thing about this is that I've been exposed to new people who have really impacted my life in a really meaningful way. And so it's just, I think there's always a positive in trying something new. There's always a positive in doing something hard and doing something scary. And it doesn't have to be so deep where you're like, well, I'm going to try this show, this play, I'm going to do the thing. And then hopefully that's going to lead to a career at Hale. And then next stop from there is Broadway. It's not about that. It's about being you, finding things about yourself that maybe have been a little bit dormant for a while, and then finding just a way to enjoy life and have it be amazing, whatever that looks like for you.
It's interesting being on the sort of male side of this. These are not decisions that men have to make, or not nearly as often, it seems. And so seeing this within the arts, or within, you know, specifically the theater space, I have known over the years, lots of, guys who do the shows, and they're like, yeah, I do shows. And then, you know, it's not any sort of thing. And along the way, I have known, some women who have said, you know, I need to do this along the way. They have young kids at home, and, you know, I've had the opportunity to be like, hey, so how do you do this? Like, what does this look like for you? And they, you know, they sort of talk to me about how they do it, and maybe they do only a couple a year because, you know, they can't be gone and whatever, or they make these sort of priorities. And then I've also seen people much like, though I don't know completely, like yourself, where there is a time and season where you did this, and then a time and a season where you said, listen, I am making this choice, which means these consequences, and it's not like consequences, it's these consequences, and that's the choice that you want to make. And now you have different time available and different responsibilities, so you can make a different choice. And it is so fascinating to me to see those that sort of return to it. It's almost like a rebirth. Mm-hmm. Like they knew that this was out there because they had experienced it before, but they're experiencing it almost all over again with a different perspective because they've both A, been away from it for so long, but B, have gained the maturity from all the things that they did not having this be a part of their life. And so I find it a kind of a fascinating just sidelines watching, not to say that one is better than the other, but it is interesting to note those that have taken the opportunity to sort of step away from it for a hot minute, mm-hmm. and then come back. It is different than those who have always been a part of it and maybe managed it that way. But I mean, to anyone that has any sort of like kid situation at home, male, female, whatever, it's so much work. And yes. Especially when you're looking at things like community theater and the things that don't pay, and they also ask you to like, hey, can you come help build a set and also bring a meal for all of these things? Like it is a passion and a love that I don't know that there is a lot comparative outside of the arts, maybe, that requires as much and doesn't have such monetary payback, but is more addictive than sugar or cocaine.
Right. The only thing that I could think of that maybe could come close to comparing would be like being a volunteer coach for children's athletics,
yep.
You know, because I really think that, because my husband's done that, I've done that. And it's like, I am here because this is a sport that I love. This mm-hmm. is an activity that I think is important, and I love my children. So this is a great way for me to spend time with them. And it takes a ton of resources. It takes a ton of time. It takes a ton of wherewithal to deal with some of the nonsense that comes up with it. The other thing, Richie, that I think is really interesting. So this show that I'm doing, Silent Sky, it's about a woman who is an astronomer, right? Mm-hmm. And in the early 1900s. And because of her like work and discoveries, that's why we have the Hubble telescope, you know, okay. and things like that. And she was doing this all at a time when women couldn't even get the degree to be an astronomer. And she was considered like the person she worked for would measure their projects in girl hours. Mm. How many hours did it take these women to do their work, basically, right? And I play her sister. So this woman, she's very driven. She goes to school at a time when it wasn't a thing, right? And then I stay home on the family farm. I get married. I have children. I take care of their sick father. And if I had tried to do this show, gosh, 15 years ago, mm-hmm. not a chance would I have had the maturity and the life experience to be able to portray the character that I am. Mm-hmm. And so it's very interesting to have this show come along at this point in my life, because there's some very personal things that I'm able to tap into to bring that character to life, to sound cliche, you know, to bring it to the stage. And that's been a very interesting experience. Like there's one point when in the show when I come on almost as like an apparition. Sounds terrible. Like it's not, I'm not like a ghost, but I'm like the presence.
You come on with a sheet over your head and right. your arms raised in the air.
Right. I'm like the Marley of Jacob Marley of the show. No. But I come on as like a presence to share a telegram, and it's kind of the linchpin. Like it's the hinge point of the show. It's mm-hmm. the thing that sets off the catalyst for some big things that happen. And I literally, it's one line, right? And I was kind of going back and forth on how to read it and how to do the line. And my director said, it'd be really interesting if you broke, like if I started to get emotional. And I was like, oh, well, I don't know that I can do that. I don't know how to cry on cue. I don't know how to make that happen. But then I looked at the subject matter and what it is that I'm not going to give it away. Okay. Good. I'm not giving any spoilers because everybody should come and see the show, www.bluffdale.gov/arts, and you can get tickets there.
We'll put the link in the show notes so people don't even have to remember what you just said.
I would love that. But it's a really important, that one line is really important. And I looked into some of the things in my life and things that I've experienced. And then when I went up and did the line, totally different than I had before. Right. And I honestly like full on started like weeping when I delivered this line, and I walked off stage and I was like, oof, I didn't know I had that in me. I had no idea, you know, cause it was, it tapped into something very, very personal to me. So it's just been a very interesting and powerful and important experience for me. It's been really hard because we do have six kids and we do have like, you know, travel baseball, and we've got, you know, ballet, and we've got other baseball, and we've got other, you know, things that my other kids are involved in. Like my oldest daughter is co-directing a student show at Riverton High School that I can't even go and see because I'm in my show and she can't come see my show because she's got her show. You know, like we have still all of the things going on, but it's been a very important experience.
Two things that come to my mind as you talk about that. One is when you talk about sort of your family schedule. And I think about how it's my wife and I and our dog, and I hear your schedule, and this is how that comes into my ears and resonates in my brain. And for people that may not be able to come to Utah and hear her deliver that line, I want to take a quick moment, and I'm going to interpret that line from that play. So if we can get small claps for what you're about to see. The name of the show is what again?
Silent Sky.
Silent Sky, and playing the part of, what's your name?
Margaret.
Margaret, I'm going to go ahead and interpret the line differently than I had before as I channel my inner the Mitch. These pretzels are making me thirsty. Thank you. Thank you.
And I've got a bag of pretzels right here.
Yes. And that's not what that's a reference to. And everyone else goes, I know what he's talking about. So let me tell you something that's exciting for me.
Yes, let's hear it.
Hey, let me think about this. Something that is exciting for me. Oh, I'm going to die in my house. I think we've mentioned that before.
Oh, yeah.
And this year, so I don't know how people do this because I only sort of know my household. I knew my household growing up, but at our house, we have a front yard, we have a backyard, and then we have a side yard. We don't have another side yard. The other side yard's not really anything, right? It's sort of a, it's a passageway, almost like a secret passageway. And because we bought this house and had to renovate it a bunch, and it was a little bit old school, even in the landscaping, what we have sort of said is we are going to take this home in sections.
Okay.
And so last year slash the finality of this year, we will have the front yard entirely done. And that's things like changing over some landscaping. And we had to remove a wall and we had to plant some things and move some dirt and take out some grass and all the things. Right. So in 2 weeks, 3 weeks max time, my front yard will be done at the house that I'm going to die in.
Woohoo!
So it excites me because I think next year I'm going to get the backyard done at the house that I'm going to die in. And then subsequently the next year, I'm going to get the side yard done in the house that I'm going to die in. And then guess what? For the rest of my waiting to die life, I'm just maintaining things.
Oh, man. That sounds awesome.
And I'm never moving again, and I'm getting it exactly how I want. So there's a spot of money being spent on, like, do we want this that is maybe a little cheaper? Nope, because that might break. So we are spending a little bit extra so that if it breaks, it's after I'm dead.
There you go.
And getting it all done. And that's
it's a house that you've paid off, too.
Well, yeah, it is paid for. We finally got that done.
Listen, I was excited for you. The puzzle got finished.
Yes, although I'll say this. And we did a puzzle where each piece essentially stood for a dollar amount. And so every time we paid a mortgage payment, another puzzle or a couple of puzzle pieces were able to get in. Here's the deal. It's exciting. It is something to celebrate. It was a lot of years in coming. We lucked out in that, like, I bought a home before things went crazy back in, like, 2015. And then I was able to sell it at the height of crazy. And to be able to purchase this home and all the things, right? So I'm incredibly fortunate. The haters will contact at theculturalhall.com and be like, we can't even afford rent. I get it. I think that you can. It just it literally makes having the home paid off a priority, right?
Right.
That's it.
Yep.
And maybe you can't do it as fast or whatever the thing is, but if that is the, like, I single to the glory of house payment off, you can do it.
Right.
And that's what we did. But I don't feel it yet. it's only been just a short amount of time and people are like, yeah, I bet it feels so good and you got so much money. And I'm like, nope, I don't. All the money that I had went to pay it off. So I'm really looking forward to the time when it feels like my house is paid off.
Well, it'll be so great when you go to get the mail and you're like, there's no mortgage payment in this mail.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's what that's like. One less letter to get in your mailbox.
Which, an aside that I just wish to bring up, has not much to do with that. If anyone knows how to not get any junk mail to your house, if there's a way that you can not get, like, the grocery store mailers and the coupon things, like, I've got to think that there's a way that you can say, do not send this to my address.
I opt out of everything.
Yes, I would love to do that. That way, when I get mail, I know it is significant and I care about it. And the second thing I'll tell you, if you do not, and I think we've talked about this before, get the service from the United States Postal Service where they scan your mail and tell you what's coming that day in your email.
I've never heard of that.
Oh, yeah. Now here, but be warned.
Okay.
Be warned. I think it's called informed mail or something like that.
Okay.
Here is why that's great. If you're expecting a check, you have a missionary that might still write snail mail, you know, whatever those things are, a Christmas card that you're like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to hear from Megan the Mitch. Those are great reasons that informed mail, like, is a benefit for your life, right? Like, hey, it said it was in the mail today. I need to make sure that check is there. Did something get stolen? That's great. Mm-hmm. Here is where it is not good. When you get a love letter from the IRS, but it doesn't tell you what is in the envelope, it is the ruiner of a day.
Talk about an anxiety trigger.
It's the worst.
Is it a check or is it an audit? Who's to say? I can't wait to get home and find out.
Yeah. And there are a few others. I got a letter last year from the Attorney General of the state of Utah.
Okay.
I'm not joking when I say I called the Attorney General's office and I said, hey, this came in my informed mail today. The anxiety around this I can't handle. Do you have any idea? Can you tell me or point me toward why I would be getting this letter? And it's not like I've done something wrong.
Right.
You know, like I'm running a Ponzi scheme from my, you know, it's not anything like that. But I, when you have something so random that you don't know why it would be occurring, that you go, so it was a letter congratulating me on being nominated for the best of Salt Lake, but whatever, right?
Nice. It's fine. Everybody go vote.
Yeah. You can still go vote. Find that link in the show notes. Right. So I just... It be warned that if you do it, there are some anxiety triggers, but it is pretty rad.
That's cool. Yeah, it is interesting to me. Like, did you ever watch The Office?
I don't know. Is that a TV show?
I don't know. I've seen it floating around the interwebs. What?
It might be good. I don't know.
It might be. Who knows? But they did a mock commercial where their tagline was limitless paper for a paperless world. Mm-hmm. And every single time I bring in our mail or my kids get the mail after school, that's exactly what I think about, because it's like, there's so many grocery ads. I can't tell you how many Capital One credit card pre-approvals we get throughout the week and all of this stuff. And I'm like, so we all have an appreciation for the earth and for our environment. And this ain't helping anything. Yeah. It's really, really not. Because if I want the grocery coupons, I can find them online. Mm-hmm. You know, Capital One, I know how to get your credit card by now. I've seen the Samuel L. Jackson commercials. I know how to do it, right? I don't need the letter. And it's funny because even like, so my husband owns his business, right? And his paychecks are all automatically, you know, auto deposited into our bank account. But we still get a physical pay stub in the mail every couple of weeks. And I'm like, dude, why are you doing this? We don't need this. And so it just kind of boggles my mind, the things where we're like, let's save the earth, but we can't get rid of our grocery coupons and we can't get rid of the Capital One credit card advertisements. That's not gonna happen. You know, it's just interesting to me that
if there's a way we can do it though, someone tell me, because I got to think at least with like credit things, I think there's got to be a way that you can just be like, nope. I don't know. contact@theculturehall.com. Shall we take a break and shall we do news?
Well, that's what we're here for.
All right. Well, we'll do it. We'll come back in the second half and do actual articles of news.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
BestDJInUtah.com is the website. That is where you go if you would like me to come and DJ your event. Now, will I do a family reunion where you all wear the same t-shirts? You bet I will. Will I travel to wherever you're at? Am I reasonable as far as what I cost? Yes. Do I bring a good time? Yeah, all the things. Listen, Best DJ in Utah, it's my company. It's a thing I do that allows me to be able to have the time to do the cultural hall. So if someone's getting married, you think, man, they need a great DJ. You're throwing a party, whether it's a 50th or 60th or 40th or 20th or whatever the party is. I've done them all and would love to be able to do that. An anniversary party, certainly done those. I did a baptism in 2023. Yeah, we did a big dance party at a baptism. Spoiler, not a Mormon baptism, but it was fun nonetheless. BestDJInUtah.com is a website. I will get back to you within 24 hours with a quote. Come on now. BestDJInUtah.com.
Hi friends, Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. Our lifetime service guarantee has become the most trusted warranty in the industry. You can get a brand new PC Laptops desktop computer and they start at only $29 a month. Check us out at PCLaptops.com.
Here in the second half of Articles of News, we do actual Articles of News. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose Articles of News.
And Away we go. This is a follow-up to a story we shared a little bit ago about the two young gentlemen down in Las Vegas. The two teenage brothers, they explosive device at a church. It's Caden and Connor. These guys in school, they were at school, and FBI came and took them out of class, which, if you can imagine,
in
my mind's eye, I see, you know, the yellow FBI on the back of their jacket, and they come in and take them out, and they're being questioned about these explosive devices. Now, we know that they did it, and I think that this is how they initially were, like, questioned and then and brought in, but this is new that came to light in just the last little bit. Why did you guys do it? They were asked. And, well, they thought it would be fun. That's why they made explosive devices and then threw them in the middle of some like mutual night activities over at the church. We lit them and we thought it would be fun. That's why we did it. The rest of the story. Yeah.
Yeah. It was interesting when I was reading through it, and I may have missed this story, or it was just kind of in a string of other issues that were happening with people breaking into buildings. So I kind of had forgotten about all of this, but the one that the detail that I had forgotten about is that they did this while people were at the building in a youth activity in the cultural hall. And I'm like, how freaking terrifying is that?
Sure.
That you're just there with, you know, with your cookies playing, I don't know, scripture chase volleyball. I don't know what that is. I just made it up.
But you can join it at the Young Single Adults this August in Salt Lake when they play scripture chase volleyball.
Exactly. Somebody's going to figure out what that means. And like, as a mom who sends four kids to the church every Tuesday, like, actually technically five because one goes to activity days, like, that's terrifying. Like, church is supposed to be the place where they're safe, and they're, these kids were not.
Well, and I just don't like it. It's an explosive device, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. So here is where I try and remember my youthful brain. Like, I remember going to Evanston and getting the, like, black cats, right? The small little things, and you'd get them in a big string. And I can remember lighting off a string of those in front of a bunch of people. And it's scary and it pops. And, you know, maybe someone could have got a piece of ash in their eye or something like that, right?
Sure.
That is not what this was.
No.
An explosive device.
Right.
Hey, and people got hurt.
Yeah. Like,
four people injured and hospitalized. From this thing. I just,
And there was another incident, I think they said at another building where a little beehive, they don't call them beehives anymore, but she was just there waiting for a meeting in the foyer of the building. And she fully got hit with whatever it was that was exploding. It's, it's all very, just because it seemed fun. There's a lot of things that seem fun that we don't do, you know?
Yeah.
Like we're like, oh, that seems fun. Potentially deadly, so I won't do it, you know.
I agree. Let us not blow things up as we think it'd be fun. This was another story I've been holding on to for just a little bit, so I want to make sure that we get it. The Member Tools app 5.0, make sure that if you haven't been in your Member Tools for a little bit, that you get the update. Some things that you can now be able to see updated in your Member Tools app. It's 5.0, by the way. 5.0. You can personalize your home screen that allows changes to size, order, and the color of the tool tiles. So if you're a little hard at being able to see, whoop, expand it up a little bit, you'll be able to see it. That's pretty awesome. You can also be able to see your assigned temple.
Okay.
The nearest current location. That. Go on.
That has been in my tools app for a very long time. So is that actually new, or did people just not know it was there? Because I've been like scheduling all of my temple ordinance work that I do like through the app since like COVID. And like, I've been putting names in the prayer roll at the temple through my app for a very, very long time. So I was confused by that. I'm like, is that actually new? Or are we just telling people, hey, did you know that this is here? That was interesting to me.
Yeah. So my suspicion would be that there are some of these things have been like available to some and now are available to all. And some of these things I think are probably just streamlined, right? Like plunked it out there and you're like, yeah, I can do it for the Jordan River Temple, but I can't do it for the Draper Utah Temple. And now like it's able to be, sort of be mainstream for all that. I don't know.
Am I one of the special ones then that had it available to me? Cause like, I can just go in, like I've been able to go in and switch around all of the, oh, I can't get an appointment at Ochre, so I'll look at Jordan and I'll look at Draper and I'll look at Timpanogos and Saratoga, you know, all of the things. Like even like when we've gone up to Alaska, we've been able to schedule through the app. So that was very interesting to me.
Maybe I think it's special. I think it's worth noting. I think you already knew you were one of the special ones, but maybe we just mean it a little different in this.
Right.
I thought this was cool. And has this been the case? This is not new that you can have an expiration of your temple recommend reminder in the app. You can have that.
Yeah. I've had that for a while.
Okay.
But I did have to like turn it on in a setting or something, or okay, like just like click a little button. But yeah, I get reminders for mine to that. Like, oh, your recommend's expiring in a month. Time to set that appointment.
How about this, that you can connect your friends with the missionaries that are nearest them? Has that always been there?
That one I'm not totally sure on. Feel like maybe. I don't know, though. That one I'm not sure on.
All right. Well, I think it's exciting. So whether they're new or old or you've been special for a while, it is the Tools 5.0. I know it looks different. When I paid the tithing the other day, it looked different. So
Yeah. The home screen definitely looks different for me now. So yeah. There's that.
Okay. What news story have you? What news is not news, but you want to talk about news now?
Why did this Mormon drive 10 hours to buy whiskey to help out a Jewish friend for Passover? So I love this story. This is about a gentleman named Nate Oman. He lives in Virginia, in Williamsburg, Virginia. And the story leads with the fact that he always has a bottle of red wine and a bottle of white wine in his kitchen. No more, no less. And it's all for cooking. It's not for actual drinking.
Alcohol cooks out. Don't judge me.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. But he recently made a long drive over to Philadelphia to purchase dozens of bottles of whiskey and vodka and gin and tequila and fruit roll-ups and donuts and a bunch of half-used boxes of cereal and flatbread from Costco. So there is a Jewish tradition at Passover, and I'm going to get all of the words wrong, so I maybe shouldn't say that because I don't want to offend anybody, but it's basically a ritual of Jews selling their leavened products to a non-Jew for the 8-day holiday of Passover. So I'm not sure why they do it, but there's obviously some sort of symbolism behind this. But a Jewish person would need a non-Jewish person to sell all of their stuff to. And it's all symbolic, but included in this haul for Brother Oman was also the lease for an apartment in Jerusalem. So let's see. His friend, who is a Jewish man, he set up to purchase all the leavened products from 50 families. One congregant was a wealthy hedge fund manager, and he included in the sale his second home in Israel, which was filled with leavened products while he was spending Passover at his home in Pennsylvania. So does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like the hedge fund? Yeah. And so Oman said, as I understand it, I had a perfectly valid lease on a really nice apartment in Jerusalem. And how this sale all went down is he basically went to the rabbi, I believe, and paid him $200 all in coins so that he could, quote unquote, purchase all of these items symbolically.
Mm-hmm.
And then after Passover's over, he'll like give it all back. But it was just very interesting to see this like melding of cultures. And it's interesting because people look at us as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and they're like, you have some wonky traditions, right? And I'm not going to disagree with that on some things, right? I'm like, yeah, like to the outsider, that looks weird, or that looks different, or that looks interesting. And we could do the same thing looking at other faiths. It's just the way it is. Like we observe different, we interpret things different, and it's fine. But I really love the one culture respecting the other. I think that that is so important in the world today. And I think that it's very, very generous that Brother Ullman did this to help out friends. He had a friend who's Jewish and they needed to arrange this whole thing. And so he's been helping them out in this way so that they can have a meaningful Passover. The other thing that I thought was interesting is that when he arrived in Philadelphia for the transaction, he actually stayed in a Hilton hotel so that he would not interrupt the family's pre-Passover scrubbing and vacuuming of their homes. Cause that's a very important part of Passover, is making sure that everything, well, I think a lot of Jewish high holidays, that it's very important to do like an extra intense clean of your home. And so having somebody stay there who's not Jewish would be difficult to, you know, keep their traditions. So sure. Yeah, it's a fun story. And he said, as a Latter-day Saint, you grow up thinking, boy, we're really strict. And then I go to my Orthodox Jewish friends, and I always feel like I'm a little bit of a poser. Mm-hmm. So anyway, fun story.
A poser. I love that. Yeah. I love that idea. I'm just a poser. No, I mean, here's the idea that I always think is kind of interesting. If you can take a step back and look at it, is like religion in general, you know, whenever people start to be sort of like either condescending or elitist, when they're like, oh, clearly you need to be doing it this way, or, oh, that thing is so weird. It's someone that doesn't know anything about their own faith, religion, or religious observances, because you go, oh, no, it's absolutely normal that I have to wear a particular underwear to get into a particular building, right? And I know that's cheapening it and lessening it down, and I don't mean to. But like just base level, that's essentially, I went to a building and now I have to wear this underwear.
Yeah.
And if you said that to someone else, hey, does your religion tell you that once you go to a building, you have to wear different underwear? They'd be like, I'm sorry, what? And right. I know it's not the underwear. I know it's the symbols. I know it's all the things. It's all to say, like, you know, all of the things you do according to what you feel is right, and no one is better or worse or you know, all those kind of things. I find that fascinating. Right.
It's interesting. I have for some reason I follow a lot of Orthodox Jewish content on Instagram.
That is an odd statement.
Yeah. It really is. But I will say this, and I don't need to get into detail, but it has improved some aspects of my own faith, looking at how they live theirs, especially in terms of modesty and symbolic religious clothing. Not that I've ever had an issue with it, but it helps me just like reaffirm. Right. But I was talking to my son about Orthodox Jewish weddings, because there is some very specific traditions, like men and women don't celebrate together at the wedding reception, right? And like all of the women dance together and all of the men dance together. And that this isn't all sects of Judaism. So like this is some specific, you know, a group of groups and specific levels of observance. But I was telling my son about that. And I was like, yeah, it's really interesting how they all lift the bride up in the chair and they all lift the groom up in the chair. And then all of the women go and have their celebration and the men have theirs. And some of them it's in the same room, just different sides of the room. Some of them it's completely separate. And he was like, that's really weird, Mom. And I was like, why is it weird? And he's like, well, in our weddings, all of us dance together and that seems really fun. And that should be, you know, that's the celebration. And I'm like, okay, but like, is it like, this is how they choose to observe it. And who are we? And I'm like, far be it from me to criticize another culture's wedding tradition. I mean, we have some in our faith that the outsiders would look at and be like, yeah, I don't get it. You can't have your family there at your wedding if they're not a member. Yeah. You know, like, because that's what we feel is, and not everybody in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints feels that way. You know, it's interesting just to look at these different traditions, see how they can actually benefit your own observance and acknowledge the fact that we're just all a little bit weird.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
I actually recently did a more Jewish wedding than I've done in a long time. And so Rabbi was there and there was the singing during the ceremony, sort of the chanting singing that they do. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot how this is. It was beautiful, beautifully done. The rabbi did an amazing job. I think there's that. And then I think also people probably look at LDS weddings and go, why are you still doing a receiving line? Why do we do this? Everyone else gave up the receiving line a long time ago. Mormons are the only one who cling to bride and groom in the center and parents of one on one side and parents of the other on the other. Nobody does that anymore, except members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I know that that's hyperbole, but not by much, not by much. Everyone else recognizes how terrible that tradition is and has left that in the past. We digress. I want to go to this story. Laura Hales passed a couple months ago at this point. She is an amazing member of the church, an author, a successful podcaster. Her and her husband, Brian Hales, started the Latter-day Saint Perspectives podcast. She was a graduate of Arizona State University, recognized as that school, one of those, that school's outstanding graduates. And they have, there is a scholarship available for history students at Arizona State University in the name of Laura Hales. That story's a little bit old, but I have held on to it because I wanted to make sure that we shared that and honored that. I just think that that's an amazing thing that I'm sure that she would be proud is happening after her passing. So I wanted to share that out there. I think that this story is interesting. In our last articles of news, we talked about Mormon Face. And that same person, I'm just going to touch on this real quick. Alyssa Grenfell is her name. She's all over TikTok and she used to be a member of the church and then is no longer. She has taken to the TikTok and said, oh, you won't believe, essentially like what you're saying, right? You won't believe they don't allow your family. And the bit about Mormon Face, she sort of brings in Ryan Gosling saying, you can look look at Ryan Gosling. He obviously is a Mormon guy. So she's moved on. And this is where I feel like she jumped the shark as far as these things, because now she's talking about a cult voice.
Right.
That, you know, that there's a Mormon voice, a tone. Now, here's what I think it is. I think that it is, because I've heard it in other people, politicians, et cetera, that aren't members of the church. I think it is an old, slower, clear-spoken voice. And I think that that's, you know, she calls it a cult voice. And I just, she's stretching it a little bit. I was with her with Mormon Face. She lost me at cult voice. I'm interested to see what other of the senses or, you know, something she goes to next as she tries to get the attention for it.
You know, it's really interesting when I see content like that pop up on my For You page or whatever, because like I follow the prophet literally and on social media, but, and apostles and other notable members of the church. And because I follow all of those people, I also get the opposite, you know, pushed forward, because that's how algorithms work and it's annoying and obnoxious. But I look at a lot of these things and there's like, I've seen people who have left the church and I'm not trying, I don't want to negate their experience because that's not what this is about, but they're like, well, you guys always say when we leave the church, we can't leave it alone, but I don't care. Like, I don't like, I can leave it alone and I'm going to leave it alone because I want to leave it alone. But then I look at the people who are kind of making a name for themselves on social media surrounding that content. And I'm like, you're not doing a very good job of proving your point that you can leave us alone, because that's literally all you're doing. And it's fine. Like, tell your story, like share, as cringy as it sounds, share your truth, whatever. But like, if members of the church get a little bit bothered by what you're saying, like maybe expect that. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. That was just something that came to my mind because I was listening to you talking with Russ about this the other day in the Mormon Face. And now it's like with this and I'm like, it's just kind of exhausting. And like, maybe it's exhausting for them. I don't know.
Well, I mean, so it's interesting in another way. Let's say that I was married and let's say that my former spouse cheated, right? Sure. Stepped out on the marriage and cheated, right? Yeah. I would be very angry about that. Perhaps I would be angry at the union of marriage. Mm-hmm. Ah, perhaps I would be very angry at whomever it was that my ex-wife stepped out on me with, right? How dare that person, right? Oh, I can't even believe that person. That person, you know, he cheated on his wife. I can't believe, you know, all of that, right? And and I could do that for a little while. And then it could be like, and she's such a horrible person, and I can't believe that she would cheat and do that and all that. And all of those things are true. And all of those things are real, raw emotions. They're my, to use your cringy phrase, they are my truth.
Right.
And at some point, I am the guy who is really angry at my ex-wife and really angry at my ex-wife's lover and really angry at the union of marriage. And I am not actually like, you know, like there is a part of me that my identity has now become. I am this anger-filled person towards those things. So, yeah, I mean, I understand it. And some of these people's stories where they leave the church, you know, and they're like, and my family made me this and this happened. I'd be like, yes. How did you make it as long as you did? That is not, you know, I don't. But for the most part, I think it's a lot of these scenarios where I think that they get into it and they start to get some notoriety, some air quotes fame by it. And then they have to go, and what else am I mad about? I'm mad about that my neighbor had an affair, and affairs are the worst. And I, you know, all of the, I just become that. And I that is where I feel sort of sad, or like where I start to get angry. It's like, are you really angry still? Mm-hmm. Or are you, you know, using this as a podium to get up to and speak about, and or have you just not taken the time to sort of like, okay, well, they think differently than I do, and I can not respect it necessarily, but I also don't have to constantly attack it. That's the thing.
Well, and I also think that, especially with very, like you said, people who are like, well, I have this trauma, or I had this very extreme parents, or that just like pushed me to the absolute extreme. It's like, you might need some like a therapy and healing from that experience. Mm-hmm. And is social media the place to find that?
Yeah.
Probably not. Like there might be some like difficult, uncomfortable work that needs to be done that maybe you shouldn't be doing it on social media. I don't know. I don't know this woman. I haven't taken the time to watch her content because that's not my jam, you know, but hearing the different things and some other things that people have said, I'm like, do you really need to actually be sitting in a therapist's office rather than making a TikTok?
Yeah.
That might be helpful. I don't know.
And maybe both are part of the process.
Yeah,
right?
Maybe both. Yeah.
You need to vent. Totally valid. You need to totally process valid. That. Yeah. A couple quick stories. One, American Idol, I guess that show's still on. David Archuleta was on it the other night and he sang Hell Together. People said pretty amazing performance. What I didn't know is that he, before releasing that on his album, he sang it in a few live shows. Mm-hmm. And I know he did Tuacon down in Southern Utah. He did some in Branson. And I guess what he would do is he would do his whole show.
Okay.
And then he would kind of come back for an after show and say, hey, guys, I'm sort of struggling and this is what it is. And just almost like an open kind of thing. And then he would sing these songs. What I didn't know about the particular one in Branson is that one of the shows that he did, 20% of the people asked for a refund after he took that opportunity at the end. I think it's sort of an interesting thing. I don't think it's something that I would do. I suppose I understand if you came to a show thinking you were getting one thing and were given something else, I suppose I could see the need for the refund. If you haven't seen the version of Hell Together they did on American Idol, it's worth checking out. Anyway, you can see that. That's just from a couple of nights ago. We reshared the episode number 326, rebroadcast it in the Cultural Hall feed, the interview that I did with Melissa Inoue. She recently passed. And there is an amazing article. We'll leave a link to this in the show notes. She, for people who don't know, an LDS scholar, wrote multiple books, beloved, and died of cancer at the age of 44. she had, or she was interviewed rather 5 days before she passed and asked a lot of just deep questions about what her hope for Mormonism is and, you know, what the main point is. And if people are struggling, what, you know, all this. And I think that I think it's very well done. First of all, I'll say that. But the second part is, I like the sort of clarity that being that close to passing on, as is the only thing I can describe mm-hmm. it to, gives you. I think that the way she talks about life and the importance of the gospel, of the Mormon message, of what we can do, of how we could change things, I just sort of found it to be pretty beautiful. There's a link to it in the show notes. Where she goes much more, or where it goes much more in depth for people to be able to check out. So do check that out. And if you haven't listened to that rebroadcasted episode, we did that today as we recorded this, but a couple of days ago as you were listening to this. And then Elder Godoy. Oh, Godoy. Godoy. That's what I always think of when I hear his name. And his wife, Monica, they are going to be speaking to the young single adults. Put it on your calendar, won't you? May the 5th. Will be the worldwide devotional in the Americas, and May 12th in other areas. It will be at 6 p.m. Mountain Daylight Time. It's not available live in Italian, Russian, or German, so you'll get that a rebroadcast. But if you have youth 18 to 30, May the 5th be with you.
I have a youth who's 18.
May the 5th be with her.
Oh, yeah.
Am I doing that right?
I don't know. Is there like a movie that you're referencing? I'm not sure.
Because it's May the 4th be with you.
I know.
I need to explain the joke.
Don't worry. I picked it up.
It's a Star Wars.
One of my favorite lines from Arrested Development is, here's some money. Go and see a Star Wars.
Yeah. Here's the deal. Megan, a long, long time ago in a galaxy... far, far away.
Okay, so it wasn't close by.
No.
Okay.
Not anywhere near here where we are. Is there any other story that's burning to you that you're like, man, we got to share that?
I'm scrolling through the document you sent me to see mm-hmm. if I'm missing anything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. No, I don't think so. I do want to, when you were talking about Melissa anyway, am I saying that right?
I think, anyway.
Yep. It was interesting that a quote popped up in my Instagram by her right before you and I got on the Zoom.
Mm.
And it said, it's a lot to ask, but what we do, we call, or sorry, I'm going to start over.
Please.
It's a lot to ask, but what do we call effort that goes on and never stops? A legacy, a sisterhood, an eternal covenant, something worth doing. Sisters, we can do this. I really liked that because actually in the show I'm in, Silent Sky, that mm-hmm. is kind of a recurring theme. Like, what is your legacy? What are you leaving this world? What are you doing? And I really liked the way she put that it's an eternal covenant that we're making to keep doing this and keep trying our best and never stopping, you know, like whatever that good is that we're doing in the world. I really liked that. So that's not related to what you were, anyway, that's not related to Elder Godoy or the Star Wars or the galaxies far away, but I
do love that quote from her. And I just think, an amazing individual, a great perspective. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that we had the opportunity to have her here in the Culture Hall and be able to talk to her for almost an hour. And I hope people take the opportunity to listen to that. I want to end on this story. Have you ever seen the movie Where the Red Fern Grows?
I haven't. I'm aware of it.
Okay. So here's what you need to do. The guy who plays Billy in Where the Red Fern Grows, a member of the church.
Richie, hold on. I'm going to interrupt you.
Yes, man. Please.
You sent me that article. You and I talked about that like a year ago.
Did we?
Here really? On this show.
We did?
Yes, because he also played Joseph Smith. And the reason he got these roles is because like his uncle was in like a film producer.
We already talked about it? Okay. Well, they must have just done a feature piece to him. The thing that I want to tell people
is
if you're feeling particularly overhydrated, take an opportunity to watch Where the Red Fern Grows. Stuart Peterson is the guy who plays Billy. And if you do not cry, you don't have a soul.
Okay. Where can we find it? Is it streaming?
You need a good soul check? I don't know. Hold on. I'll do a quick Google search. Where can I watch Where the Red Fern Grows? I'm saying that out loud so that it's not just quiet. It's available on Peacock for free.
Hey, there you go.
You can get it on Fandango, on Plex, on the Roku channel. If you're a YouTube Primetime subscriber, you can watch it. If you're an Amazon Prime Video subscriber, you can watch it. You can watch it for $4 on Apple TV or $3 on Google Play.
So there's lots of options to watch Brother, what's his name?
Peterson.
Brother Peterson on the Red Fern. Is that a movie about a dog?
Oh, just go watch it and cry. And just cry.
It's based on a book, right?
Yeah. Here's the thing. Just go watch it. And when you're just a weepy, you know, hobbled over, just sad, sad mess. Honestly, have you ever seen Marley and Me?
Yes. I only watched it the one time. I couldn't do it again. Yeah.
It's not like that exactly.
Okay.
But it is, if you're just like, you know what I need is a good soul cleansing cry, Where the Red Fern Grows.
Okay. Does the dog get rabies? Is there a dog? No, I don't even know.
That's Yeller. That's old
Yeller. Yeller. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
But Where the Red Fern Grows, we watched it in school.
Okay.
And I want you to imagine a young, I don't know, how old would I have been? Third, fourth, fifth grade Richie watching Where the Red Fern Grows. His parents have just separated and he's trying to make sense of all of that. And then he watches this movie. And you need to watch that movie and then just be like, how does he even function as an adult? A lot will start to make sense.
Okay.
As you see that, Where the Red Fern Grows.
So the cheat code for Richie Stedman is watch Where the Red Fern Grows, because then you'll understand everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
And that if you're not healthy enough to listen this week, you'll be able to listen next week.
And that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, Chris at Alpine Lakes Travel, Rick McGee, Debbie Wanless, Chocolate Cake Bites Podcast, and the Tiger with a U will be saving a seat for you
on the back row.
Of the cultural hall.
Save me a seat, it's sure to be neat. On the back row, we really gotta go on the cultural hall show.